Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, CEO of The Wine Growers, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
It is.
And so much more.
And so much more. I know. We were jamming out to some other music before our show started.
It happens.
So it happens.
Lots of things happen in studio.
Yeah. Jeff is a real inspiration, our producer here.
So true. So true.
I know. Last time we were on the show, he wanted to know how he wins our Employee of the Month, and so we have to figure that out.
Still waiting. It's still in the works, Jeff.
One of these days, he's going to get a wine grower hoodie, though. We're working on that.
Oh, so, yes. I know. That. Well, good stuff merchandise. Let's go forward.
Here we go. I like that so much.
All right. Well, speaking of exciting things that are happening.
Yeah. We are... The team, not me, because I'm here, but the team is actually in the city today at Oracle Park for the kickoff of the Giants Fan Fest.
Always fun.
It's our fourth year. I can't believe we're entering our fourth season. There you go. Season. I'm using all the words now.
Look at you, baseball
season.
Expert.
Yeah, hardly, but getting better. Fourth season with the San Francisco Giants partnership. You know, as we've evolved and in 2025 launched the SF Giants Wine Club brought to you by Sonoma County, it's made it so much more interesting to be able to bring wine and our partners to the ballpark, meet with the fans, meet with, you know, wine club members, host them up here in Sonoma County. So much fun stuff going on. We're going to have four winery partners there today. And what's fun about FanFest, it's really the kind of the kickoff, the very symbolic start to the baseball season, at least here in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Season we look forward to.
Our producer's laughing at me. What's going on? It is. Come on.
Traditionally, I would have gone pitchers and catchers, but for the sake of this show, yes, that is the mark of the season.
Well, pitchers and catchers aren't here, right? They go to Arizona and then they...
Exactly.
Yes. So, but
no,
yes, mentally, for sure, pitchers and catchers, but now we're getting to
the real season. We're actually talking the first time the fans are coming into Oracle.
Fair enough.
Yeah. For the season. And the first time we're able to bring wineries.
I will take a hoodie or just Giants tickets. I could easily be bought.
Oh, there we go.
Good to know.
Yeah. You're so flexible.
Well, you could give them tickets to FanFest because it's admission
free.
Is free.
Yeah. Do you know what? You should head there right now. And you know
we'll
what?
We'll print out a little ticket for you.
We'll even pour you wine. So you just have to swing by. There's no problem. Like, we won't even charge you for that. So, yeah, but FanFest is super fun. Fans get this kind of exclusive all-access look at the ballpark. They can tour the clubhouse, the broadcast booth, meet and greet with Giants alum, and, of course, Lucille, who does not like Lucille, the Giants mascot, on-field activations, all the things. And, of course, most importantly, I mean, at least for us, Sonoma County wine.
Yeah.
So super fun.
And Giants Wine Club also sort of in the mix.
Yeah, so we're officially, as it's March, a recent shipment just went out, the third of the wine club shipments, working on the next one, which will be going out in May. So super fun. I think that's going to be a great one because it's like actually in the season versus this one's kind of for the start of the season. But all good things.
All right. Well, we will be back on The Good Stuff. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have Lisa Amaroli, Director of Winemaking at Benziger Family Winery. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And you got a lot of wine. There's a lot of wine glasses. Chris is kind of...
I'm excited.
She's sort of protecting those wine glasses. She's keeping them close.
They're all by me.
She's keeping them very close.
I mean, if they were over there, it might take a while for that wine to actually get to me. So if they're right in front of me...
I can't wait to pour them. So.
Well, okay, but we need to find out a little bit more about you before we get to the pouring, although Carissa might want you to start now.
Okay. We're good. I'm patient. I'm very, very patient.
So, all right, you've got your science background, biology, chemistry. Did you grow up in Sonoma County?
Yes, I did. I grew up in a very conservative Italian household.
Okay.
I thought you went to school only to become a doctor, lawyer, teacher, or engineer.
That's what I thought. Many options.
Well, I know. But I didn't realize you could go to school to become a winemaker or a chef or anything like that. I just thought you grew up in it. And so my brother, in an Italian household, the older brother, he gets everything. My dad sent him to college. For me, Lisa, you need to marry a rich Italian.
Oh,
so I'm really glad he said that. I graduated from high school early, made a ton of money working for the forestry because I was carrying around a chainsaw and doing timber stand improvement and all sorts of things like that. And made enough money to go to Europe and try to find my rich Italian. So,
you have to back up though.
Wait,
yeah, you can't just say I graduated and then I was carrying around a saw and cutting.
I didn't even go to college. I mean, I went to college for half a semester right after I graduated early and just could not sit still.
Okay, that's so you wanted to work.
Yeah, I went to work. Went in the forestry. And then I thought, I'm going to Europe. And
but why didn't your dad fund the Europe thing if he's the one that wanted you to marry an Italian? Anyway, okay. So yeah. I'm going.
I don't know. Right. I thought I would just be gone for a little while. But I ended up spending about 5 years in Europe in total. So
Yes.
So the journey to find the rich Italian is all a comedy, a story for many glasses of wine. But I ended up after 6 months or so, a friend of mine said, I want to come and visit you. And I said, I'm running out of money. We got to find jobs. So we found work in Germany, working for the military as bartenders. So that's what we did. So
okay. Well, it's such a natural. You're like, well, I'm in Germany.
Working for the military.
Working for the military.
Yeah. But we lived on the economy, you know, with it was such a great community. Heidelberg was very close to France. I'd pile my friends in my little car that I bought, and we'd go wine tasting, and we would eat all the local foods. And so I really fell in love with the process and the wine, because I couldn't even drink beer. Beer, I love it, but it fills me up. I have like four sips and forget about it. Wine, I could always have lots of wine.
Yeah, especially with food.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But go back, though. Such a fascinating story. So, but where did you start? Did you start in Italy when you went over to Europe?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did start.
So, and then where did you all go in those 5 years? I mean, you ended up in Germany at some point.
So first was actually France, Paris for a little while.
Yes.
And then my sister was actually living there. So I had a soft place to land when I needed to. She had one of her babies there. But then off to Italy I went. And
did she marry an Italian or a Frenchman?
No, an American. No. They just up and decided to go there.
Your dad was still like hoping.
Somebody's going to marry a rich Italian. She married an Irish American.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
So you go to Paris and then you go to Italy.
Go to Italy and drink all the local wine, meet many great people. I mean, it was so enlightening just to feel part of a community, even though the first place I stayed was a crazy, crazy place that we always had wine with dinner because it was a little pensione. But an elderly lady ran it and would wash her poor cat every night and scrub the thing, shove it in a little cage to have it dry by the radiator. And I just felt so bad for this cat every night. But I mean, just it's just like a surreal story.
We're going to go break the cat out. Let's do it.
Yeah. We have a rescue mission.
Just a surreal story. Yeah. But yet there's always wine all the time, just saturated. And just the joy of having that around with the food and the flavor combinations, just the right thing at the right time, you know? And so in Germany, worked there for many, many years, or many, meaning at least 3 years I was working there. And then my friend had since moved back home, and I just stayed until I met a poor German.
to make it clear. Yeah.
And then we came back to the States. I don't know where the poor German is at this point, but it was a lot of fun and a great adventure. Really gave me a sense of I can wherever I go, I'm going to survive.
Yeah.
So when I came back here, I worked briefly for Canine Companions for Independence with Bonnie Bergen.
Great program.
Well, and Bonnie is such a force, and it's like she was such a great mentor. Lisa, you got to go back to school. Okay, I'm going to become a veterinarian. Boom. Graduate with a degree in biology and chemistry.
Okay.
And
so that's where that came from.
Somebody said, do you know you can work in the lab at the winery for this? I can work in wine. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Bonnie, but I got to leave. I got to try the wine business. So I started sampling grapes for Carrie Damsky, who's another great mentor in his own way. And very shortly after that, I met the Benzigers and have been with the Benziger family winery now for 27 years.
Amazing.
I know. And so I kind of
realize it's been that long. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. It's been, I started in 99 and that was my first harvest with them after only working a few harvests at another winery. And, you know, I really need to thank the family for having so much faith in me, because at that time there weren't that many women winemakers, not that I was in winemaking right from the get-go, but when, you know, I got in as an enologist and then a assistant winemaker, and then in 2005 the main winemaker for the commercial brand doing like 150,000 cases, he left, and that left me with that program. So, and at that point they hired Rodrigo Soto, who was another great mentor.
Yeah, great guy.
It's just such a wonderful, poetic and artistic winemaker. So kind of learning the art aspect from him. I'd already learned the logistics aspect from the winemaker I worked from before. And so he was basically more or less hands off, because he was concentrating on the biodynamic and organic direct-to-consumer wine. So for many years, it's just amazing. I ran a crew of 15 people, and we got these Benziger Sonoma County wines done. So in 2015, the wine group ended up buying the Benziger brand and the Imagery brand. And, you know, it was sad because, you know, Mike Benziger was such a spearhead. I mean, I met him with that determination. I met him in 96 or 97, in 97, where he was so determined in converting the estate to biodynamics. And then 2 years later, I started working for him. So it's just like such a magnetic person. And
give us a little bit of the background of Benziger, just like to kind of, I mean, a lot of people may have heard of Mike Benziger or have met him over the years, but kind of the, I mean, it's a rich history. It doesn't go as far back as some places in Sonoma County, but very important. So tell us about the Benzigers.
Yes. So in 1980, the Benzigers purchased the property up in Glen Ellen, so near Jack London State Park. Before then, the Benzigers lived in New York, were in liquor distribution, Park Benziger. Mike fell in love with wine, so he came out earlier and was starting to get...
And just to be clear, it's a big family.
Big family.
So that second generation is really who we know the best, right? And there's a lot of brothers.
A lot of brothers.
And
seven
Mike
brothers
was the
and sisters.
Yes.
So, and Mike is kind of he's the driving force, one of the driving forces.
Yeah, very charismatic, very, very well-spoken, was very visible in the building of Benziger.
Exactly. And one of those people that he's going to get it done. He doesn't know how, but he's going to get it done. And you just gravitate towards that energetic just being that he had. And so he he convinced the family they bought this beautiful property, used to be the Wagner Ranch, bought this beautiful property, kind of replanted the grapes that were on there, and found that through the conventional farming, things were just dying. You know, the vineyard was thriving because you're putting all the synthetics in, but found that the ground was dying. There weren't birds singing, there weren't bugs flying around, and thought there had to be a better way. So he looked for a way to do regenerative type agriculture, and found
before we called it that. Yeah. Right? I mean,
well, yeah. And that's one of the original forms, form of regenerative agriculture is biodynamics, because the whole thing is about regenerating the soil, everything that we do out there. And so he turned to biodynamics just kind of very much committed to converting the property. And so on the property now, we have 85, 86 acres, depending on who you talk to, about 35 is planted in grapes. And we have all the Bordeaux varietals, plus some Sauvignon Blanc, and also some Zin, Grenache, and Petite Syrah on the property. But, you know, so part of his mission there was to grow grapes that are authentic to that piece of property, because we are on the eastern slope of Sonoma Mountain, and actually it's a caldera of an old volcano. And if you look at the property, it's shaped like a bowl, and we call it the Vineyard of Light, because no matter what time of day, light is striking the vineyard at any
point.
It's a
beautiful spot.
It's very magical, and to be able to produce wines that really have that sense of place is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was kind of his mission, to really give back to the soil. And since then, we've have either acquired or have long-term leases on four other vineyards and that we farm biodynamically. So,
okay. So you end up there, which sounds like kind of a perfect place
I have a question that we missed. Did you actually drink wine? Did your family drink wine growing up before you went off on your
jug
grand
wine.
Adventure? Jug wine. Okay.
Jug wine, or something that my grandmother might have made, which was probably a mix between vinegar and wine, which we know vinegar is really good for you.
But. Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I was going to say, I'm like, did wine have a place at the table? So
Yeah, but not any specific varietal or anything.
Yeah.
Just was part of life.
Got it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So then what? I mean,
In 2015, when Mike Benziger retired, it's like, Lisa, here's the direct to consumer. And it's like, yes, but a big shoes to fill, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Making the biodynamic, because I'm switching from the certified sustainable wine, super proud of it and super proud of the contribution there, to making these beautiful, authentic wines to the place without a lot of tutelage, so to speak. It was it was like, you can do it, Lisa, you're going to do it. So about the most significant meeting I had about how to make the wines from Mike, you know, we talk all the time about other things and biodynamics and all that, but the how to was meeting him at midnight in the vineyard while we were picking. You know, because he had just walked right down the hill, and it's like, Mike, how do we make these wines? And he's like, Lisa, you got this, you know? And so we just talked about philosophy, really, and trying to listen to the grapes and you know, really making it. So it's been a journey, and I'm so blessed and so lucky to, I have to pinch myself, because it is a dream job.
And over a decade now that you've been in this official role.
Yes.
Well, so much more to unpack there.
There's so much more to talk about. We will take a quick break and come back on with Lisa Amaroli from Benziger Family Winery. Good stuff, talking with Lisa Amaroli, Director of Winemaking at Benziger Family Winery. And the moment has come.
Most importantly.
You have two. So you have two wines that you have brought. Well, you might have brought other ones, but anyway, we're going to start with these two Chardonnays. Mm-hmm. So explain what you have, and then let's try pour them. Some for Carissa.
Yes. So I brought something kind of fun because I love playing with Chardonnay because it's so versatile. You can do so many things with it. You can make it light and crisp. You can make it oak rich and buttery and everything in between. Mm-hmm. So I just have this little love affair with it here. Making it.
We well, do too.
I don't have a love affair of making it, but I do have a love affair of drinking it.
I do
so
too.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
So I brought today something kind of fun, a wine from the same vintage, same biodynamic vineyard, but two different styles. One style is a very light kiss of oak. It had a barrel fermentation for just one month and then brought back out into tank, bottled with no malolactic, so that there's no buttery taste whatsoever, and then bottled up, very crisp, full of acid. Its counterpart was barrel aged for about 8 months on lees, and so went through full ML. It's going to be a little richer, not over oak though, but you're going to get some oak influence. Now the vineyard is DeQuello Vineyard that we had for a long time over at Sonoma Coast in Bodega, and farm biodynamically. So these both are biodynamic wines. So natural yeast, which is a little nerve-wracking sometimes, especially for whites. With reds, no problem. But you got to kind of grit your teeth a little bit while it gets started.
Is that particularly true as a chemist?
No risk, no reward.
Well, also as a chemist. You're like, are you fighting yourself?
No, actually, because I have faith, you know, and kind of knowing how to do things, you know, because we always start off with our biodynamic Sauvignon Blanc from the estate property. We found the perfect tank for her. She goes into a tank that's in the sun. Although we do keep cooling on the tank, for some reason, it, you know, she likes to start there, you know? And it's like yes, the natural yeast, because I've waited up to 2 weeks, and that's like, you look at the tank top every day, and you are worried that something's going to spoil, but... So far, I
do best in the sun as well.
Yes. We put Chris in the sun.
And then a little side note, we did have our yeast tested from one of our lots, tested at a wine lab. And they found 7 different serotypes of yeast that they've never seen before. Wow. And so because people say, oh, just commercial yeast got in there. But it's not true. It's our own yeast that come in.
It's your home brand yeast.
Yes. Yes.
I love
so
that.
Let's taste these.
Yeah.
Let's taste
these.
I know.
So, and DeQuello is still a vineyard that you farm?
Because of, you know, the industry, the way it is now, we made so many Pinot Noirs from there and very successfully and very well rated. Mm-hmm. So only this 2025 was our last vintage there, but we're going to continue the style of wine with another biodynamic vineyard we have with Bella Luna.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first one is the one that's more, ML. And it's
no ML on the first one.
Okay. So for in layman's terms, what is ML?
So ML is a bacteria. So wine goes through two fermentations. So the first fermentation is converting sugar to alcohol. And then the secondary fermentation is malic acid to lactic acid. So if you think, and that's called the ML, or that's what we refer to. So the malic acid is the acid you find in apples, whereas the lactic acid is the acid that's in milk, kind of a more yogurty, soft type of acid. So we like that conversion because what it does is help reduce the acidity a little bit and raise the pH. So it's you know, maybe a little more creamier. Mm-hmm. So the first one is not going to be creamy. It's going to be a little
nice
more
and
bright.
The apple.
It's super bright.
The crisp
like
apple.
Zippy, like,
yeah, very bright. And really fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's people who don't normally like Chardonnay do like this wine a lot. It does have a high acid, so... Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fun to be like, no, I bet we have a Chardonnay you will actually like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, I know, it's great.
Do you think, because, I mean, Amal gets talked about so much in terms of Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. As a winemaker, is that one of the biggest decisions that you make when you're making these Chards?
Lots of times we do, for most of all our other Chardonnays, we go ahead and let them go through ML for stability purposes as well. But it is a decision depending on the season. If we have a very hot season and all the acid kind of drops out of the wine, mm-hmm. because we like the brightness naturally mm-hmm. in the wine, you cannot go 100% this conversion and retain some of the brightness in the wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think I want to try them side by side if we can do that.
I think we can. And we will. And we will.
I just love that sound of a cork being pulled out of a bottle.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. I know. It's my happy place.
I know. It's very Pavlovian, right? You're just like, oh.
That
things
for
are going to happen. Yeah.
Thank you. Do they have different names?
Yes. So the first one is just De Coelho Chardonnay. The second one is called Spirit and Earth, which is just a different style. So you can see the in both of them, the underlying brightness mm-hmm. is still alive.
I was going to say, it's still a very bright wine.
Yeah, very bright because the acid, honestly, it's so difficult to get some of the grapes ripe at that vineyard. I shouldn't say ripe, but totally mature. Yeah. It comes in with very high acid and pretty low sugar. So mm-hmm. this is definitely a wine that would go well with food, and also not get you totally
not going to fall over.
Yeah. After you can have it at lunch and go back to work.
I love that.
Especially if you work in the wine business.
Yes. And I even brought a third Chardonnay, but we won't open that. I'll talk about that because we do so many Chardonnays. Another one called West Rose. We get organic grapes from the San Giacomo family. Mm-hmm. That one has more oak. I like to call it our 1 foot in Burgundy or 1 foot in California wine because it kind of crosses that bridge a little bit and super elegant and very elevated, very well received as well. And then yet another one called the Pear Block from San Giacomo, which tastes like pear, spiced pear. Boy,
so funny.
Now it's genuine, right?
Yeah. So well, they originally had pears.
They were pear farms.
Yes,
so
they did. They did. And then
and the farmers are so creative. Pear Block, because that's where the pears were.
Well, I have one called Apple, too.
Oh,
and
there
that's
you
your
go.
Butter bomb.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. I know. I laugh at my husband all the time. He's like, we either call it But the former owners, like the founders of the ranch, or we call it whatever street it's on. So there's like a Morelli Lane vineyard. There's the Walker vineyard because the Walkers had it. I mean, you just...
I kind of like that, though. I like the tie to the place.
The history, in a way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Mm. But it's kind of funny. I'm like, the marketing person in me is like, we could come up with better names. Mm-hmm. He's like, nope. That's
nope.
what it is.
Well,
so,
nope. Nope.
Yeah. Well, no. But like the Pear Block, I love that. Yeah, so how many different wines do you make?
I make about 30 different biodynamic, organic, and a few certified sustainable in there. So it's to help satisfy our wine club.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Right, and you sell a lot direct, I think, as you mentioned earlier. But Benziger wines can be found in distribution, which is a nice part of its story. It was always a wine that people could find.
Yes, our certified sustainable commercial, absolutely.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to take another quick break and be right back on with Lisa from Benziger.
Thank you.
drinking and enjoying and talking about Chardonnay with Lisa Amaroli,
director of
winemaking at Benziger Family Winery. Exactly. So, I think Carissa is enjoying all the Chardonnay.
I'm having so much fun.
Well, and we make several more. And I know we don't have time to try them all today, but if anybody wants to try them, they can come on out to the winery. We do on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays a brunch with bites that features a Chardonnay flight with So you can try all the different ranges of Chardonnay, but we just don't do Chardonnay. We do lots of beautiful Bordeaux varietal reds. So we do Merlot, Cabernet, and Bordeaux blends from our biodynamic properties, and super proud of them. And they taste like that sense of place. They'll bring you back to Sonoma Mountain or Sonoma Valley with great flavors and real signature of the farm and the area. And I was gonna say
what's in the jars?
Is that
a horn?
It is a cow horn. So we do biodynamic farming for several of our vineyards, and biodynamics first of all is like a form of regenerative farming that's kind of extension of organic. So not only do we do all the organic practices, we also make biodynamic preparations, which are kind of like, if you think about it, probiotics for the soil or for our compost pile and other things to help bring life force into the vineyard and check for authenticity. So I brought the cow horn because it's kind of very symbolic. So it has to be a horn from a female cow from a cow that's had a calf. Because I think because they're a little more porous and no cows are compromise just to get the horn. These are from natural processes. And so what we do in fall is take fresh cow manure, pack the horns, we bury them on the property, and then 6 months later we dig them up in springtime. And what we get, so if you think about this was raw manure, and this is what happens 6 months later. Hmm. If you smell it, you're not going to smell manure at all with this. You're going to get this really rich.
It doesn't smell like humus. Our producer is like, no, but I'm like, it just smells like
this. Is teeming with microbes.
Yeah.
And so what we do with that is like one horn's worth, or about a cup. We use about a cup per acre after harvesting, and spread it out onto the vineyard. We also do it in late winter, early spring, to spread it out in big droplets all through the vineyard floor to kind of inoculate, so to speak, good microbes to help build a healthy soil.
So very symbolic, but also ceremonial.
Yes, yes. Too. It's a conversion that's undeniable, that there is a little science to it too. Mm-hmm. The vessel itself being a bit porous helps that microbial process.
And we'll post a bunch of pictures on our Instagram and Facebook when we do the show, so you can see all the.
But also, if people come visit, I mean, you mentioned the Chardonnay brunch, but there are other ways to visit in which you really take people into the system, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. We offer tours daily, our tractor tour, which many people might have heard about. We also have a little more extensive one that's called the Tribute Tour. And if you're lucky on that tour, if the cows are out, you might be able to see our new Highland cows.
Oh, I'm leaving right now.
Sheep.
Off we go.
Yeah. we have other tastings Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday.
No, I feel like it's one of the signature places to visit to really get to experience. You get just such an integrated experience into the vineyard, and then the tasting of the wines and
sectories.
One of my first.
Kind of got it all.
Yeah,
we have it everything. Yeah. And it's such a beautiful place. And our tour guides and tasting room staff, they're so engaged and so wonderful. I mean, you'll have a great time.
Yeah, yeah, it's a beautiful place. So what I'm seeing here is Benziger Family Winery open daily, 10 to 5. Walk-ins, leash dogs are welcome. Mm-hmm. And you do the biodynamic tractor tour so people can find out a lot more, see the animals, as you say, taste the wines. I think people should go. Yeah. So Benziger.com.
Nothing but good stuff.
And if you're in that neck of the woods, I mean, Jack London is the park that you border, and yeah, another great visit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, other things that people can do, any special events coming up, or sort of just best to come to Benziger?
Yeah, we do in April have a wildflower pressing event, mm-hmm, cool, you know, having the little wine really and learning pretty. How to press yeah. wildflowers. I believe that's April 25th.
Okay. Oh, fun.
So, yeah. Well, we'll post it online. Thank you so yeah. much for joining us today, yeah. Lisa. It was fun to have you on.
Oh, thank you. It was fun meeting you all and being in here. So thanks.
Up on today's good stuff.
So fun.
I know. We had a cow horn in the studio for the first time.
I think that is the first time. Yeah. I mean, we've had soil.
Yep.
We've had dogs. We've never had a cow or sheep in here. It's maybe a request if you're listening.
But people should go visit Benziger yeah. because it's an experience. You will see those things. And it's just sort of this self-contained magical place in Glen Helen. So...
Yeah, I totally agree.
You ever had cow poop in the studio before?
Well,
I mean, that was the first.
That was the first.
Not that we know of.
I wasn't very trusting of it, but it, you know, like she said, it did not smell like poop. Good.
Yeah. I know. Well, you gave me the look. You're like, that's okay. I'm like, no, you have to trust me. Well, I would have punked you anyway. Had it smelled like poop, I would have still done it. But like, trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. Don't trust me.
We haven't had poop in the studio that we know of. Let's just yeah, that say was, that.
Well, yeah. that was like that was converted. I feel like that was converted.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Benziger.
That was regenerative poop.
Such a, you know, was for his time like very visionary about the farming piece of things, and
absolutely.
Was really good at trying to explain it to people, and you know,
yeah,
influenced a lot.
I totally agree. Well, and the wines are great.
Wines are great,
and like you said, it's a nice juxtaposition that the wines are available throughout the market, throughout the U.S., but then yeah. also special sort of experiences that you can do at the winery and different wines you get to try. So it's you know,
yeah.
all the above.
Range of price points as well. Yeah. And Mike Benziger's daughter, for those that don't know, is part of Glen Ellen Star and Stella Restaurants in Glen Ellen and Kenwood. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Big food family that's as well
nugget.
As wine. Yeah.
So much. Well, what are we doing this week?
Which I think...
Tuesday night wine. What do you got?
I've got the De Coelho Chardonnay 2024, one of the ones that she poured for us today that was the more high acid, no ML.
And I see it. You're taking it home and
I'm taking it home.
And
but
revisit it on Tuesday.
I'm going to bury it in a cow horn until spring. No, I mean, I just have a soft spot for that vineyard. Remember going up there with Mike and probably Chris Benziger at different points in time.
So cool.
Magical yeah. spot out on the coast, so.
I love that. Well, as she mentioned on air when she was here, that the other Chardonnay that she brought might be the exact, you know, a little Goldilocks moment. I'm like, oh, that's a little too bright. That's whatever. Here we go. But it's actually from the San Giacomo Vineyard, which obviously Steve San Giacomo is on our board. We love the San Giacomo wines as well. But I'm going to do the Benziger San Giacomo Vineyard from Las Canaras West Rose Chardonnay. Which I don't know if I've actually had, so I'm excited to try that and see how it kind of fits in the lineup of, you know, no ML, 1 month in oak, mm-hmm. mostly stainless, to a little going through ML, but 8 months in barrel to probably, I'm expecting this to be a lot kind of creamier, richer.
Well, clearly we just need to go to the Chardonnay brunch and try
that's
them all.
Thinking.
And
that is what I was thinking.
Anybody
I like
else
that.
Who loves Chardonnay out there should go do that,
yeah.
Benziger.com.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep, or call. Do people call wineries still? They might. 707-935-3000. Again, you know, they do walk-ins. Leash dogs are welcome. There's cows, there's sheep,
and
bees, insects.
I was saying, Benziger.com, we should actually spell it So that's benziger.com. If you want to visit the website to be able to visit the property. So yes, walk-ins welcome, but also you can book an appointment and certainly book that Chardonnay brunch.
And the wildflower event
pressing
that they will.
April. Yeah. I think my mom would like that. I'm going to have to think about that.
I think you should book.
I know. Book. Maybe book we could do the Chardonnay brunch and the wildflower pressing. Gosh.
Okay. And then
all the good things.
Eat at Glen Ellen Star and Stella on the way or on your way back from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.